This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
Tonight, we're going to talk money. I grew up believing in the American dream. I was sold on the notion that in this country you could achieve anything. I believed that all the people around me were living the lives they were capable of, that if you tried, you could be. Now me, I grew up in the city projects. I didn't know we were categorized as poor until I knew. I was happy, I had a great childhood. My parents both worked, we seemed to have everything we needed. Until I became a teenager and I understood there were rich people. Someone that owned a neighborhood restaurant, someone owned the gas stations, someone owned the clothing stores. There were doctors who were revered, lawyers who were respected. There were executives, there were entrepreneurs. I saw them every morning dressed in their suits, taking buses and trains to New York City. There were nice cars, there were private homes, there were vacations in Europe, there were out-of-town colleges. None of which were available to me. I wasn't rich. However, and this is important, I wasn't angry. I wasn't jealous. I wasn't envious. I felt I'd get my turn to try. What I was a guy who wanted to figure out how they did it. How can I do it? Now, to be perfectly frank, I never thought I had a chance. I was too naive, inexperienced, untrained to become successful, to become rich. I didn't have a clue. I didn't have my parents talking about dreams, talking about how to achieve success. Their friends and next-door neighbors didn't talk investments, financial opportunities, brighter financial futures. Get a job and work. In fact, they started me out in the post office. But that's for later. We, my parents, were the so-called working-class families. I didn't understand that we were destined to be working-class families forever, unless I tried. This was America. As I grew into my late teens, 18, 19, thinking about college, going to college, I met a more financially diverse group of people, people who were career successful, living different lives. The conversations were different. They looked different, somehow more confident. It always struck me that their parents were the same age as my parents, but yet they looked younger. Their attitudes were different. Poor was different from rich. The girls seemed more sophisticated. After all, they were traveling the world with their parents. They had the exposure. It changed them, made them more interesting. I could listen to them talk forever. I learned from them. Being rich didn't make them better to me, but they were a source. But having said that, no one ever told me I couldn't make something of myself. No one ever told me I can't get out of the projects. College seemed to be the answer. At least it was a start. There was never a question as to whether or not I was going to college. It was a given. Although, I had to make it happen. If I didn't get into a city school, I think for me it would have been, hey, you want fries with your burger? But it was never written. It was never said that I didn't have a prayer, that I don't have a chance. This was America, where there were millions of stories of guys who made good. Although I knew that, I still had my doubts. But I didn't just sit there and set my lot in life. I read enough books to fill a library, beyond my school books. I watched TV to learn and to listen. Movies provided me with role models. I actually listened to my teachers and then professors. I focused on government leaders, hearing their speeches, always making it clear, you can make it in America. And I did. But that's not what I'm hearing today. Our leaders divide us. They instill that the system's not fair, our country's not good. I say we're not perfect. We're always moving to be, though. Leaders, or the lack thereof, is what's dominating our networks and Washington these days. This is not the America I grew up in. I tell you this because, on paper, I didn't have a chance. Modest means, no guidance, local schools, no mentors, no internships, no business preparation, no one to advise me. But I did, and I was willing to work hard. I was curious, and I had this desire to win, to be successful. Any one of you can do that. Any one of you. And by the way, watching successful people where they worked, how they spoke, what they wore, how they communicated the written word, I became one of them. I always had a positive attitude, no matter what came my way. I don't subscribe to negativity for a second. This is America. Go to school or learn a craft. Study or apprentice in a trade. Save your money. Start a career or build a business. You can make it in America. But you have to play the game. You have to act the part. You have to make sacrifices. Be respectful and appreciative. You can make it in America. If I did, you can. What is wrong with our messaging today? What is wrong with our leaders? Frankly, I'm astounded by what we're getting. Probably more incensed at what we're getting. I'm confounded. I'm confused. And as we roll forward and I understand where I am today, I'm a successful guy. I don't understand how could I be the bad guy? How did I get positioned as a bad guy? Because I'm successful? Nobody gave me anything. I fought for it all. I worked hard. I learned. I excelled. Now all I hear is I'm a bad guy. And the newest outcry? Tax the rich. Tax the rich? Are you kidding me? All this time I've been living in the country for free? I don't pay taxes? Look, I might be rich, and we're going to talk about that, but I've paid more taxes than is humanly possible. Tax the rich is a lie. Still to this day, no one's giving me anything. I'm paying my way. I'm paying for you. I'm paying for infrastructure. I'm paying for schools, and I'm doing it gladly. What I'm not happy to pay for is socialist giveaways. That doesn't make me happy. I believe we should give people the opportunities to work and incentivize them to work, not pay them for unemployment. Of course, if they can't find work, help them. But for me to be criticized for my success in America, that's impossible. Yet what is going on? There's something wrong in our country now. And it's being spread by politicians, the media, and special interest groups. And it's not accurate. It's a lie. The rich pay the lion's share of taxes in this country. Tax the rich? I don't know. For what I've paid, I think a simple thank you would be in order. Which brings me to AOC. I don't even know how to pronounce her name, and I don't want to. Can you imagine what I was thinking of when I saw her wearing that dress at the Met Gala? Directly to her. You all people should be screaming at the cameras, taking the podium, and letting all your followers hear it from you. This is America. If you apply yourself, you can make it in America. You can become whatever you want if you work hard, apply yourself, and you have the talent. I want you to be rich. I want you to be successful. I want you to create jobs so others can be rich and pay taxes. This is America, the land of opportunity. And all you had to say at the fashion event of the year, my industry, my career, my industry, kidnapped by your tax the rich, shame on you. I never saw a poor person create jobs. How about being a patriot? No taxation without representation. Do you remember what that was? Do you remember that our country went to war over that? Anyway, tonight, I'm going to talk finances, budgets, money, and tax those rich b****s for becoming successful. The ever-growing, successful lawyer, my co-host, and my son, Jesse Weber.
I had a feeling that when you saw that dress, that you were going to go crazy. I'm not surprised by this.
Didn't you?
I hated it. I was disgusted when I saw it. You know what it was? First of all, you wear it to an event where everybody there is rich and famous. And what are you going to do? You want to be part of that crowd. So you're benefiting from those very people. You think she went around and said to everybody, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. No. She was hobnobbing and having a good time with the celebrities. I thought it was very hypocritical. But even that, I didn't think it was appropriate. So for me, for anybody out there, I work really hard to try to be successful. And what she's saying, I'm just going to tax you anyway. I'm going to take all the money away from you anyway. Let me give everybody an example here, okay? And this is not me complaining, but this is an explanation of how hard I work. Last Thursday, okay? Wake up in the city at 6 a.m. I go to my studio at 8 a.m. for Law and Crime. I'm the host from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., three-hour shift. After 12 p.m., I immediately pack up. I walk all the way uptown to go to my car, and then it takes me an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, given the traffic that we have right now, to go to Long Island to do News 12 Long Island to be their anchor for the evening. And I am the anchor from 2 p.m. until 11 p.m. I finish up at 11 p.m., drive back to the city. I don't get back into my apartment until 12:15 a.m., shower, go to bed at 1:30 in the morning, and then have to wake up at 6 a.m. the next day. And so after putting in all of that time, all of that hard work to make myself successful and earn money, she just wants to take it away. Now, let's just be honest for a second, okay? Let's just be honest. I grew up in a very different setting from you, okay? You achieved success. I felt it. I wasn't, you know, scared where the next meal was going to come from. And you and mommy were fantastic about that. But honestly, who cares? Let's be honest. Your success was yours. Your success didn't help me to do well in high school. Your success didn't help me get grades to go to the University of Michigan. Your success didn't help me pass the bar exam or graduate cum laude from law school. What you and mommy did was great. You provided an environment for us to feel safe, to be supportive, to be nurtured, and that was perfect. That's what I expected from my parents. But everything I did on my own, I had to do it on my own to get these opportunities. So it was always up to you, Jesse, to make that success for yourself. So I hated that dress. I hated that she wore it, her attitude for putting that on, and she's separating people by finances for no reason. It's unfair to say tax the rich when she's treating every successful person or rich person as if they're a bad guy from a Steven Seagal movie, and they're like the rich, like corrupt bureaucrats. That's not fair. That's not who everybody is. I find it nonsense. Wrong lesson.
Well, I agree. The signals being sent are horrible. How can anyone grow up happy and normal with the lessons being taught by these politicians? Work hard, become successful, find the American dream for you and your family? You're 1,000% right, Jesse. I couldn't tell you all day long what to do. You had to go out and do it. But now, why penalize people for doing the right thing?
And it's more than that. Look, you guys, no question, mommy, you set the example. You did. But more importantly, you set the tone for work ethic, for drive. Always, I followed your example, how you did it. I didn't want anything handed to me. And I have to tell you, I studied so hard from high school through college to law school, the bar exam, the stress level, the work level. Anybody who isn't a part of it has no idea what that is like. And I became a lawyer. I started making money at my law firm. I worked hours after hours after hours at the law firm. And now, after all that hard work, after all the taxes I paid, they want to tax me more? What's the incentive to work hard then?
Well, now you got it. And those of you out there listening, tonight's show is called Tax the Rich. I was going to add Tax the Rich FU, but I'm not sure yet. We'll decide later on. I'm going to discuss taxes, but better yet, I'm going to do something different. I don't think anyone has done. I'm going to take you through the math. I'm going to show you what the rich go through. You think the rich aren't paying their fair share? Don't worry. After you see the reality, I'm no longer rich. However, before we go there, why should we trust the government with more money? For that matter, with any money. Now, you started this, President Biden. You want to spend trillions of dollars of money we don't have. Now, I can't help myself here. The Democrats, none of whom I trust with a penny of our money, I trust the Republicans. Now, on the other side, my position has been clear. When it comes to social issues, I lean left. I'm a Democrat. Women's right to choose, voting rights. I understand welfare. But if you incentivize the people to work and find them jobs, you'd give them dignity. But I understand it. But money? Forget it. When you, the left, actually are responsible for something other than collecting taxes, you're a mess. But I want to talk about my favorite. I mentioned earlier, my first real job was at the post office. My parents had a friend. One of our next-door neighbors had seniority and tenure at the post office and was able to get me a summer job with the idea that if I worked in the post office in the summer, I could get a full-time job when I graduated from school, the post office. Now, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't thinking, am I going to the post office after graduating from college? I don't know, maybe. My parents' idea was you work years, you get a great pension, who knows, but that's what I grew up with. But the post office, that's what I have to talk about it. The post office loses money under government ruling and government control. I want to repeat that. The post office loses billions of dollars a year. How could that be possible? How could that be possible? You government bureaucrats, you mutants, you've had a monopoly on the mail since the Pony Express. A monopoly. Nobody does mail, only you. How can you lose money? Jesse, you got any idea what a stamp costs?
I don't know, like 25 cents? I don't know. I just get the stamp and I put it on. I don't think about it.
It's 46 cents. Okay? 46 cents. Whether you're right or wrong doesn't matter, but I ask you a question. If the post office made it 50 or 56 cents, you think anyone would notice? Would you notice?
Not a chance. Nope. I don't think anybody knows. A letter needs a stamp. Whatever it costs, you need the stamp. You put it on. You raise the price like 10 cents. Nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to care. And I actually think it would be billions of dollars to the Treasury.
Thank you for stating my case. Now, before I leave stamps, I just want to say the following. You ever hear of forever stamps? I know you have, Jesse, because I've talked about it. The government gives you a discount now to buy forever stamps. So if stamps now are 46 cents, you can go in and buy 1,000 of them for 46 cents that you'll use at a later date. Now, why in the world do you government bureaucrats, you mutants, discount the price of stamps for later use? What am I going to do on a letter anyway? I need the stamps. Why are you giving me discounts? It's crazy. Hey, post office, here's a thought. While I'm at it, how about delivering quickly? After 250 years of operating the post office, shouldn't you be quicker than FedEx or UPS? If the government knew what they were doing, there'd be no FedEx or UPS. How did you let them in? It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. Shame on you. Now, it's not the fault of the postal workers. They do their jobs. They get the mail, they deliver it, they do what they're supposed to do. But if the management, the government, can't seem to compete when they have a monopoly, what's wrong with this? And you want to tax me more? You know what? Before you raise my taxes again, I'll get you more money. I have an idea. Let me privatize the post office. President Biden, I will pay you $1 a year to turn over the post office to me. Now think of it. You're going to make a dollar instead of losing billions. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for the government. I want to own the post office. It'll be fast. It'll be competitive. We'll have workers who are incentivized. They'll be excited. They'll be looking for new hires. Come on, America. This is unbelievable. The first thing I would do is I'd eliminate these pensions. You know, we're in the 21st century. Pensions are obsolete. That's why God invented 401ks. I'll give everyone in the government a chance to participate in a 401k. I take over the post office. Move over, Jeff Bezos. I'm about to become the richest man in the world. Get smarter. Leave me alone. Tax the rich. What are you kidding me? Look, the government's a mess. When I saw that dress, I got crazy. I happen to think she's a very interesting lady, garners a lot of attention. I happen to think she's a looker. She belonged at the Met. The dress was beautiful. But when I saw Tax the Rich, once again, what comes out of her mouth, I can't believe what I'm listening to. And with all due respect to her associates in the Democratic Party, When it comes to money, I don't trust you. When it comes to the good of the people, I do. But I am incensed. And when we take a break now, I'm going to try and calm down. But when we come back, we're taxing the rich.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it. But not in America until Donna came. Donna was a New York life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was, frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette. And they all look good against black. Let's face it, we live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning, we do different things. We work, we play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, both footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO of Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant. And I can tell you, if you want to step out and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Tax the rich. Are you kidding me? This week, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went to the Met and wore a dress, beautiful spirit, beautiful mood, and ruined it by painting in red paint on the back of that dress, tax the rich. Are you effing kidding me? You invaded my world with that socialist, moronic, misleading paint on your back of your dress. Tax the rich. Let's be intellectually honest. You want to paint on the back of your dress? Paint this. We Democrats don't like successful Americans. We believe in sharing your wealth. We don't believe you have a right to prosper. We're coming to take all your hard-earned money away.
I think that would be a long dress. I don't think that works.
What a statement, nonetheless. That's what it is.
Well, they'll never say that. You know they'll never say that. They think they're right. They think they're making a point. They treat all rich people as one person. They all think they're the greedy fat cats. They all think they're the bad guys. They never take into account hardworking people who have earned success and have earned their money and maybe don't like the idea of having it taken away for no reason. That's what I think.
I don't know. Do you see pennies falling from the trees, Jesse?
Well, they want pennies to be falling from the trees.
Yeah, well, they have to be earned down here on Earth. And this capitalist system has made us the greatest, most wealthy country in the world. You know, I've talked about my trips to China. I'm a fan of China. I went to China early on, not long after it was opened, and I work with the Chinese government, I work with the Chinese people, and I see them in different light than they're being seen today. I believe someone with a brain who would sit down and talk with the Chinese one-on-one and come to some conclusions on what's best for them, what's best for us, what's best for the world could be worked out. China, to a great extent today, is a communist government but believes in capitalism, more so than us. When I went there the first time, the people were lovely. But government workers, they had no incentive. There were no rules. There was no reason to experiment. They didn't invent. There was no enthusiasm. That was the problem. Now, I tell you what. You tell that same Chinese factory manager he can own the factory, and China becomes the quickest industrialized economy in world history. That's capitalism. That's free enterprise, not socialist ideas. Now let's talk about taxing the rich. Let's for the moment say I make $1 million a year. Man, I'm a rich guy. I'm making $1 million a year. And don't get me wrong, $1 million is a lot of money. And there's only a handful of people in this here country that make $1 million a year. But the government has their say in this $1 million. Oh, yes, they have their fingers in the pie. Correctly so. Let me give you an example. First of all, federal income tax on $1 million, 38%, that's $380,000 I'm paying the federal government from my salary. The state gets 8.5%. That's $85,000. That's $465,000 I'm paying in taxes. Miss AOC, that's more than you earn. I'm covering two of you. I'm paying your entire overhead. You're not making the kind of money that could pay that money. I'm making $1 million. I'm paying taxes, huge taxes. Now let's go to Social Security. Social Security and Medicare, 6.2% plus 1.5%, which is another $72,500 I'm paying into the government. So payroll alone on my $1 million, you taxing the rich without increasing it, is $537,000 I'm paying you. How profitable I am for you. You should love me. 53.4% of my money is going to you. And I'm not done. And I'm wondering whether I'm still rich. Let's talk about our friend Schumer, because all of you forgot what you did to New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and New York. When I bought my house, I had a tax deduction. My taxes were $50,000. At the time, if I had two homes, which I did, all my taxes for those homes were tax deductible. So when I bought a house, if it was $50,000 in taxes, because it was tax deductible against my income, I get a benefit of the government of about $25,000, $30,000. Well, when Donald Trump put in his tax plan, the Democrats stepped in and took away the tax deduction on real estate taxes and tapped it out at $10,000. Well, at $10,000, if you live in Omaha, it's going to cover. If you live in Columbus, Ohio, it's going to cover. If you live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, it's going to cover. But in Connecticut, New Jersey, California, and New York, no. You can't live in a house, by and large, for $10,000. I lost $25,000. So right away, the taxes I'm paying you are growing and growing and growing. Now, a whole block in Iowa isn't $10,000, but I don't want to pick on them, okay? $25,000 I lost. I own a car. I drive 15,000 miles a year. I go back and forth to the city. I drive. I'm entitled to some recreation. Do you know every single gallon of gas is taxed 18.3 cents? 18 cents per gallon. That's 4.7%. At 15,000 miles, that's another $3,000 in taxes. Close. I'm a rich guy. To outfit me a year is $25,000. Another $2,000 in taxes. Let's say I'm doing well. I buy a Rolex watch, or I buy my wife a handbag. Another $3,000. Now, food for me alone is $3,000 a month. Tax on that, another $1,000. Now, all of that added together is $9,457. Added into my 500 and some odd that I gave you before. I pay a gardener $12,000 a year, a plumber $5,000 a year. I pay water and heating $12,000 each, which is another $4,000 in taxes. Add that on. I pay an accountant $5,000 to do my taxes. You add all of that together. My tax bill to you, the government, is $551,000 on that $1 million. 55% of my money went to you, the government. I kept 45%. How could that be fair? I was a rich man. I made $1 million. You hear me? $1 million. I'm so rich. I just gave you $450,000 of my money. And by the way, if I have a wife, she costs $3,000 a month. Another $3,000 in taxes. My children, $5,000 per month. College, $30,000 to $40,000 a year for two children. And after all is said and done, and the taxes I paid on all those expenses, after all, I'm a rich guy. You want me to live? I have a great life. I earned it. I don't need more, but you need more from me. After all is said and done, I'm keeping the economy going. I'm spending money, but I'm giving you $600,000 and left with $400,000. And after expenses, maybe there's $100,000 left for my retirement. I got news for you. Every one of you out there, unless you're making $1 million a year, is keeping more of your paycheck than a person making $1 million is. None of you contribute to the economy as much as I would if I was making $1 billion through taxes and spending. My level of expenses are helping all the small businesses. All the corporations are benefiting from me. My spending creates jobs. What's wrong with that? Let's be honest. If I'm making $1 million a year, I'm contributing more financially to this country than all of you. Let's be fair. Stop criticizing me for the ability to make $1 million. I'm helping this country in so many different ways. And if in the end I could save some money for my retirement so I don't have to come to the government when I retire, wouldn't that be a great thing? Jesse, you want to comment on any of this?
It sounds like you have no money left. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't think anybody really breaks it down like that. You know, it's one thing to make a talking point as a talking head on news or in a speech about taxation, but no one breaks it down this specifically. And I think they need to, because this is a wake-up call for a lot of people out there who think it's so easy and the right thing to just tax people.
Well, exactly. That's the point I want to make. I worked my whole life to be successful. We all talk about this. This is America. We should applaud people that make money. I look at Bill Gates. I love him, what he's accomplished. I look at Jeff Bezos. He's entitled to his $100 trillion. I'm glad he's rich. Go work on Amazon. Go dial him up and buy something. He's entitled to it. Elon Musk, entitled to it. All of these people, actors and actresses, they're standing there with Ocasio and making believe that they agree with her. They get $20 million a picture. And you know what? They entertain me, and I'm willing to pay them that. I don't care if a movie ticket costs me $10 or $20. It's my pleasure to pay them.
I have to know, though, what do you think those conversations are like, huh? When she's hobnobbing with these celebrities, do you think they talked to her about this? Do you think, like, does she say, hey, I know you just made $10 million in your last picture. I can't wait to get $5 million of it. Like, do you think she's talking about this at all with them? Or are they just like... She's like, oh, don't worry about this. This is just my shtick.
I think one of the problems in America now are people are afraid to talk. It's become so politically correct, so woke, that people are afraid to talk. That's my point of view. Her showing up there, let me just conclude this episode and say the following. If you know someone making $1 million a year, look at them and ask yourself, how do I do it? And if you can't, you should applaud them for their success. Because not only are they successful, they're contributing to everyone around them successfully by paying taxes, by spending money, by goosing the economy. So, AOC, I'm sure you're charming. I would love to know you. I would love to sit and talk to you. I would love to hear your ideas. I think you're a force to be reckoned with in the future. But at the same time, I mentioned earlier that I had no one to advise me when I was growing up. It's time someone advised you. You're growing up, okay? Be honest. If you're invited to the Met Gala next time, I personally, at this stage, without having chatted with you, I wouldn't invite you. But if you were, let me suggest that the back of your dress, go ahead and paint it. But be honest and say, I was wrong about the rich. They help society. And in big red letters, reduce their taxes. I'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
I am so excited that the world is starting to open up, that we see hope and we're getting interested in the way we look and dress again. I want to talk right now to the women in this country. It's time to come back, and you have a tremendous opportunity to look your best again. And I'm particularly excited to talk to you about Casper, the brand for women's related separates. Casper is a very, very stylish, contemporary brand that is going to clearly match the way you want to live your life going forward. There's so many things to do again. There's so many things that you want to accomplish, whether it's at home or at work. Casper has crafted an updated collection, a modern collection of easy, effortless classics that you could wear from morning until night. It's great to be able to wear a wardrobe that you'd wear to work and be proud, and you are competitive in that workplace, and then go out at night and feel like a woman. I am excited to start meeting people again and seeing people dress their best. Casper also makes the kind of clothes that you would wear for your Zoom phone calls, whether it's a sweater or a blouse. If you wear jeans, and great tops to go with them. Casper has all of your wardrobe needs. They cover you great. They're simplistic, and yet they're thoughtful with all the detailing and the emphasis on refined fabrics. I like looking at women's clothes. I spent 9 years working with Donna Karan. I understand what looks great. Casper has trend-right jackets, blouses, dresses, knits. It's an amazing brand, and it's been around for a while. And if you don't know it, you should go in and find it, and I'll tell you where. You can find the Casper collection at Macy's or online at Macy's.com and, of course, at Casper.com. And by the way, Casper is spelled K-A-S-P-E-R. I don't recommend many brands, but in this case I will. I am impressed with Casper. Ladies, check it out. You'll see I'm right.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Yeah, this is Mark Weber with Jesse Weber. Welcome back. Part of the name of the show is fashion. Last week was the Met Gala, and Alexandria, what's her name, Jesse? I'm sorry, I should know.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Thank you. Showed up at the Met Gala looking beautiful in a beautiful dress until she turned around and it said in red paint, it looked like, on the back of her dress, red print, tax the rich. I got incensed. I can't get over it. I mean, I really can't get over it. This government takes our money. They spend it foolishly. They don't tell us the truth. And the real truth is the rich pay the majority share of taxes in the country. And if you just tuned in, you missed one of my favorite segments in the last 5 years. Talked about a guy who makes $1 million and actually how much money he keeps from that $1 million. Pays so much in taxes. Anyway, I want to get off it, but I want to talk about the government spending money they don't have. Can't help it. You just read. You hear it. Biden, the Democrats, they want to do away with spending limits for the balance of the year. They just want to spend what they need. They want to increase the debt limit. And that's on top of $3.5 trillion for investment spending, on top of a budget that spends more money than it takes in. So this country continues to go more and more in debt. Now, my mother, I haven't spoken about her in a while, but my mother was a simple lady. She was a bookkeeper. She had a brilliant, beautiful handwriting, and she used to show me the work she did. We were, you know, modest people. We were poor people. But my mother understood money. My mother and father, very early in my life, I've told you this before, they said to me at the beginning of a week, I don't remember if it was a dollar or a quarter, Mark, here's your allowance. We're going to give you this money today, but it's all you're going to get for the week. So if you go to the candy store, what's called VJ's, across the street from my house, across the street from the projects, they sold candies, comic books, all kinds of little things. Mark, we're going to give you the dollar, but if you all spend it in one day, don't come to us later in the week because this is your allowance. This is all you have to spend. And I got to tell you, it taught me a lesson. If I wanted to buy something, I had to think twice. If I wanted bubblegum, Bazooka bubblegum, I love it. If I wanted bubblegum, I could buy a few pieces. It was inexpensive. You bought a comic book, it might eat into it, and you might not have money for bubblegum later in the week. So you had to be very careful. And that was my first lesson in budgeting. I got married. I was getting a paycheck. Every week, I had to write down on a piece of paper. I kept a ledger. This is my expenses. This is what's coming in. Make sure you save money, Mark, and if not, it doesn't make sense. You have to do away with something. The whole world knows how to budget. The whole world, except for you-know-who, our government, deficit spending. Companies understand budgeting. I have no choice. I was a CEO of two public companies. If I put a budget together and I said, this is how much money I'll spend, and this is how much money I'll take in, and this is what we'll be left with. If I didn't hit that numbers, I wouldn't be a CEO for 5 minutes. I have clerks, I had division heads, I had vice presidents. Anyone gave us a budget that they didn't hit, they were in trouble. Unfortunately, the federal government and the state government doesn't understand that you have to make choices. There's investment spending. In business, if you make an investment of $100,000, you have to show the powers to be what is the payback for that $100,000. You don't invest $100,000 in computers without showing somehow that after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years at the outset, you're going to return that $100,000 and more so. That's why you made the investment. Now we're about to spend $3.5 trillion on infrastructure. Every dollar you spend on building a new bridge or fixing a bridge, I'm there. Every dollar you want to spend on fixing a road and building a road, I'm there. Any dollar you want to spend on developing new airports, I'm there. Our airports lag so far behind the rest of the world. You go to London, you don't want to leave the airport. It's a great place to be. Great food, great shopping, great lounges, great everything. Here, we're struggling in this country. You want to build an airport? I'm there. But if you want to spend the money on saving humpback whales? No. You want to spend the money on the Kennedy Center? No. You want to spend the money on Lincoln Center? No. I love the opera. I love the whole pomp and circumstance. I love the theater, but it's a business. If the opera can't make money being the opera, then close up. If you have a dance company and people aren't interested in dancing, what are you doing? You either get donors who are willing to invest in you. You don't come to the government. That's not building infrastructure. I tell you what. I want to be super rich. I want to be the next Bezos. If you heard me earlier, I figured out the post office. Now I want to be in charge of making money in Washington. You want to worry about the Kennedy Center, whatever the opera house is in Washington, D.C.? I want to be given the responsibility of owning and running those facilities in Washington, D.C. I'll tell you what. Could you imagine the great parties you could throw in the Kennedy Center? Could you imagine how businesses would love to entertain their clients? They have an evening out, charitable function. Do it in the Kennedy Center. Do it in the Opera House. Do it anywhere. Make a fortune. Turn it into catered services. Tell you what, Bezos, I'm coming for you. If you give me the Kennedy Center, you give me the other institutions there, I'm going to be one of the richest men in the world. My golf club. Last Sunday, I wanted to have dinner there. There's no dinner at the club. I'm trying to figure it out. That day I played golf, I noticed they're setting up for a wedding. Country club, we're all members. It's Sunday. I want to play golf. I want to be at the club. No. The priority is to make as much money as you can in that facility. It's there to make money, the club. And the idea is the end product, the more money the club takes in from outside enterprises, the dues will be reduced. So everybody understands it. Now back to budgets. Who in this world spends more money than they earn, other than morons in Washington? I don't get it. In life, there are things that are nice to do, there are things that you should do, and there are things that you must do. If you have a budget, or in business you are making a lot of money, you're getting the return that's expected of you from your shareholders, from your owners, from your boss, whatever. If you're making the kind of money that they expect you to make, then you should spend on the nice things. Make it nice for the employees. Give them big raises. There are things that you should do. You probably ought to issue stock options to a wide variety of people if you want to retain them in the company. But you must do the things that you must do. You must pay your rent. You must pay your workers. You must pay for gas and electricity. You have landlords. They expect to be paid. And most importantly, you have bankers and lenders. You have to pay them. But if you're not making the returns, you're not covering the overhead, you have to forget about nice and should do in favor of what you must do. That's the way it works everywhere except in our government. And it makes no sense because we keep taking on more and more debt. People have debt, okay? This is what we're talking about. Before I close out this subject, people have debt, okay? I get it. Every one of you out there has credit cards. Every one of you. Do you pay the bills when they come in at the end of the month, or do you pay a portion of them? You remember the movie Rocky? Jesse, you remember Rocky, the first movie?
Yeah, but is this going to end with Rocky V, how he lost all his money?
No. Do you remember what he did for a living?
Yeah, he was like a muscle for a loan shark.
Yeah, what's a loan shark? It's a guy who lends money to someone who needs the money at a very, very high interest rate, a crazy interest rate. Now, I don't know why the world made it illegal. I don't have the knowledge on why they made it illegal to charge those rates. And it certainly looks ugly when they portray it as threatening to hurt people for not paying back the money. You borrow money, you pay it back. But credit cards? That's what Rocky is. Credit cards charge you between 15 to 20% annually to borrow money. Do you realize what that means? You go to a bank and you borrow money, it's 3% now. Credit cards are 20%. I meet people who don't pay off their bills every month. And they get into credit card debt. And all they do is all year long pay off the interest. Credit card companies love them. They don't love me. I come in, I spend my money, the bill comes, I pay it, I'm okay. They want the people who are taking out credit and are paying them interest 20% a year. That's what the government is like. They're playing with our money. And I'm back to it, I can't get off. You want to tax me more? I just don't get it. Why don't you figure out how to spend money appropriately? I would be proud to work for the government. I would be proud to privatize some of your industries. One thing for sure, you have to make choices. Nope. 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 You want to tax me more? You can't spend money appropriately. You waste it. You throw it away. You want to tax me more?
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. I think we have enough of the taxes already, okay? I think you've made your point.
All right, with that in mind, we've covered a lot. I want to take a break. I'll be back in a minute.
Always in Fashion.
It's Mark Weber, host of Always in Fashion. Karl Lagerfeld was one of the world's most celebrated fashion icons. His creative genius still is through with his Karl Lagerfeld Paris collection. Karl Lagerfeld was known for his artistry, his photography, and his fashion design. He was a brilliant, brilliant creator. And he was also known for his cutting-edge and aspirational and inspirational approach to style and life. Included in the Karl Lagerfeld Paris collection is women's ready-to-wear, accessories, shoes, and bags. Karl Lagerfeld also offers a wide range of watches, eyewear, and premium fragrances. The Karl Lagerfeld brand is there for you to be different, to be special, and feel unique. Explore the Karl Lagerfeld collection at karllagerfeld.com.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Perhaps if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez didn't go to the Met, perhaps if President Biden's talk on increasing taxes, perhaps Bernie's idea of fair share of taxes, or any of the other Democrats who never had a serious job outside of government, I too could afford to be a limousine liberal like the rest of you Democrat elite. I could sit in the back of my limousine and create programs and give away your money. I already have enough, so it won't matter to me. Why should I make it harder on you to buy a house? Why should I worry about making it harder on you to buy a house or send your children to school? More taxes. I'm with you on social issues. I'm right there. Women's right to choose, climate change, voting rights. But I'm a businessman. While you're bankrupting the country, working hard, earning money, wasting hard-earned money on nonsense, ruining an economy energized on lower tax rates and incentives, you're talking, you're screaming metaphorically to raise my taxes, and you can't be trusted with money, and you can't handle the truth. The rich are the greatest contributors to the greatest country and economy in the world. Stop the lying, start the applauding, and leave us alone. Good night.